way, and I know we follow them both very closely.
I'm going to go Mariners.
That's our rival.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. I mean, that's our rival you're talking about.
Yeah.
There.
Have some respect, see?
See?
Mariners or Pirates? Scraby, what's the wrong answer?
I know the Mariners had a great start to the year, and then the Pirates got their manager fired. So I'm going to say the Pirates.
Pirates. Who'd you say, Thomas? I forgot. Mariners?
Yeah, Seattle.
All right, Mariners, Pirates. Pirates. It was the Pirates.
Woohoo!
They came from behind with 69, Mariners 68. All right, we got only four to go. Tony's got five, Thomas has three, Scraby has two.
Ooh,
and
chance,
let's see, I don't remember whose turn it is. I think
it's Scraby's.
Okay, Scraby's turn.
Ooh.
Kansas City Royals, Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, they're both terrible. Same.
Same. Tony?
Strategy's not working for me.
I'm going to say same.
Another same.
Yeah.
Thomas, Orioles
Baltimore.
Or Royals? You're all wrong again. The Royals, 59. The Orioles, 54. Here we go.
Coming
it is straight. Tony's turn. The San Francisco Giants.
Ooh.
Or the Texas Rangers.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's amazing how much I can forget in 3 months.
Same.
I know, the season just ended, right? Same. All right, Thomas?
Giants.
Giants.
He got there!
You guys are all wrong again.
Ah!
It was the Rangers, 78, the Giants, 77.
I knew the Giants won 77 games.
As long as Thomas is missing, I'm all right.
Yeah, you're still all right. All right, we got the Thomas is up, too. Who won
more? Wait. Thomas is up now?
It's his turn.
Okay.
Yeah, it's his turn. He's not winning the game.
All
right, Thomas, here we go.
All right.
Who won more? The San Diego Padres or the Chicago White Sox?
You should see the look on Thomas's face.
White Sox.
White Sox.
Well, according to MLB Network, the Padres only played like 140 games last year, so...
What?
What are you talking about?
Remember when they put the standings up and it was like 20
short?
It was
163.
Well, that was the Dodgers.
Oh, I didn't see that.
The other day when you were here, Chris, they put up 163. Or 103-60. Anyway, not the point.
Not at
I'm
all.
I'm just going to say Padres.
Tony, one more. The White Sox or the Padres?
Padres.
It was the White Sox, 72, the Padres, 70. We're down to the final question.
I'm only up one, huh?
You're up one. You have to go first.
Ooh.
Tony, five. Thomas, four. Scraby, you're 2 for 13.
Ooh.
My
man,
goodness.
I am stinking up the joint.
Yes, you are.
It's a 50-50 game.
You know, I've been taking chances today trying to make moves.
I've been playing the board, Alex.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make moves, man.
Well, you keep trying. All right, last one. Tony, you're the in the lead, so you have to go first. Who won more games last year? The NL Central champion Cardinals or the we didn't make the playoffs Arizona Diamondbacks?
Oh, wow.
I know exactly how many games the Diamondbacks won.
Do you? I really highly doubt that.
Same. Nope, Cardinals.
Same, nope, Cardinals.
Oh, I guess I got to go Diamondbacks.
You'll go Diamondbacks? You could go same. You want to go Diamondbacks? Whoa. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility.
Samesies.
Make you struggle a little bit, that's all.
No, I'm just going to go Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks. All right, Scraby, how many games did the Diamondbacks win? Since
I believe
you said you knew.
They won 87.
They did not. So who
was
won
I more? Close?
Maybe. Who won more, Cardinals or Diamondbacks?
He said same.
I said same.
Oh, you said same? All right. Arizona won 85.
Oh, it was close.
But the Cardinals won 91, so Tony Gwynn wins the game for the second time in a row.
Yes!
Congratulations.
I'm on a win streak, ladies and gentlemen.
You are. With all due respect, it is nice to have a little winning streak going, but you're really only going against one opponent.
I know. But he's a worthy opponent. So.
Wait a second. You just slipped that one past me. I am an opponent.
I don't know if he really slipped it. He said it loudly into the mic, which your headphones
well,
are.
I was watching this weird video of Vernon Davis crying. It's so weird.
Was he thinking about how you met you in the bathroom?
Probably so. All right. There's our pop quiz for today. Scraby is a loser again.
Again.
Oh, man. Don't
you almost
say that,
can't try to lose that game because it's a 50-50. You know what I mean? You have to, like, be right just by accident once in a while. But somehow, Scraby, you managed
to
avoid that.
Well, I'm trying to play the field.
No, you don't have any excuse. There's no excuse for you. We'll take a quick timeout. Come on back. Final half hour will include a visit with Aztec star Yanni Wetzel of the 25-0 number 4 ranked San Diego State basketball team. That and much more as Gwen and Chris continues on San Diego's number 1 sports talk station, 97.3, The Fan.
7.3 The Fan.
Six on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Thomas Andrews, Matt Scraby, all in the building. Got a little potpourri of sports news coming at you. But first, let's get you some traffic with Sue D.
This report brought to you by accident attorney King Amanpour. Starting in National City, South 805 at Palm Avenue. Watch for a ladder. Somebody dropped in mid lanes of the freeway. Meantime, in Mission Valley, it's a palm tree on fire. Eastbound 8 at the South 163 connector. Traffic stopped up as you approach that. Also, South 163 running heavy back from the 805. Nearby might have a stall in your way. South 15 just north of the 163. Another breakdown reported on Southbound 5. This guy's in the right lane just south of Genesee. Injured in a car or motorcycle accident? Call Attorney King Amanpour. For over 23 years, Attorney King Amanpour has helped win over 16,000 cases, and he's here to help you every step of the way. Visit attorneyking.com or call 619-333-3333. Sue DeVincent with Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Now, as you guys know, yesterday we were supposed to be at the Salute the Champs dinner. But
you were there.
We were there briefly.
You sure were.
But we had to audible after, you know, we couldn't
get the
connection correct. But Reggie Bush had some interesting things to say. It was very San Diego of him to drop some Charger knowledge on some folks out there listening.
What you see standing up here, I'm a product of the people from San Diego. I believe San Diego is a sports town. It's a true sports town. And that's the reason why, we need to get our San Diego Chargers back. Some way, somehow, we got to get them back, man. They don't belong in L.A. I'll say it as many times as I can. I live in L.A. I know the fan base there for the Chargers, and I know the fan base here for the Chargers. And there's a lot more of us here than there are in L.A. So we got to find a way to get the Chargers back.
Got to find a way to get the Chargers back, he says.
He did.
Yeah. Good, Reggie. That will always get you the support of a San Diego audience,
which
is not a bad idea if you're making a speech in front of San Diego people.
No doubt about it. I don't know how likely that is to happen.
I don't think it's likely at all. I honestly really do think if you asked me, if you told me there will be an NFL team here in 5 years, I would not pick the Chargers. I'd pick somebody else.
I wouldn't pick anyone.
Well, I just said... Oh my God!
Did you hear
the whole question, or are you just coming in the middle again? The notion there was that we know for a fact there's going to be a team here in 5 years.
Oh, with that disclaimer.
With that disclaimer, well then, okay.
Yeah, no, I don't see it happening. I mean, although I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who lives up in L.A., and he thinks that it could happen.
Oh, really? People in L.A.
He said the worst thing that could happen is they open up that stadium next year. Mm-hmm. It opens in July, by the way.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift is going to be the first person to perform there. So that's the first performance thing.
T-Swizz.
And then the Rams will open up. What did you just say?
T-Swizz.
Are you a Swiftie?
It sounded like it.
You know, on my phone right now, you go through my top 25, there's a love story.
Nothing wrong with that at all. He was saying that the worst thing that could happen is they sell out that Rams game, and the following game is the Chargers, and it's like half full.
Yeah.
And that might get the owners, moving a little bit. And I'm very skeptical of it. I've been dragged down this path. Yeah. Too many times.
I think they'd have to like have half of a stadium full for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Before the Spanos is, my goodness, the last place they would probably think of moving somewhere else before they would come back to San Diego, where they know they would just be booed unmercifully every time they turned around.
My guess is that before Spanos would be involved with coming with anything moving the team out of L.A., he would sell the team,
That's
make
the
that
way.
Money first.
That's the only way.
And then whoever buys the team would have to move it down.
Yeah. But I still don't see it happening.
Because he seems pretty stubborn about this one.
He's not letting
he's not letting this one go.
No, and you know what? Who would you boo more, right, at this exact moment, if they both walked up and they were announced? Spanos or Alex Bregman?
Ooh.
Where is this happening?
In a neutral site.
Neutral site.
Spanos.
I don't know. I think
Bregman,
if it happened right now, it'd be
in a
Bregman.
Neutral site, yeah, I think in a neutral site, Bregman would win.
You know, I saw some rumblings on Twitter about Philip Rivers retiring and everything, and how, or not retiring, but leaving the team, and how San Diego really
is that
needs,
true? Is it possible
that he left the team?
There's some rumblings that he might leave the team.
No, he's gone.
Oh,
he's just being. He's just
the way you presented that, you said there were some rumblings about him leaving the team, and
no.
I'm like, oh, did that happen?
No.
Come on, Scrape.
There's some rumblings about him already leaving.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
But the rumblings were actually about, I almost said a bad word. Like,
I'm glad you did.
Well, don't say it.
The rumblings are about San Diego giving Philip Rivers a celebration, and I'm all for the idea. But the dude lives in Florida now, and I would think that the Chargers organization would have to do something for San Diego with Philip Rivers to get him to come back, and I don't see the Chargers doing that.
I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I don't think the Chargers are going to do anything. I think Phillip would come back, though.
Think he would come back from Florida if a fan thing came?
He would definitely come back.
If he gets honored, let's say, into the San Diego Hall of Champions.
Yeah, I think he would come back for that. But I think
they
want to have a parade for him because he was such a good San Diego Charger.
Yeah. A parade?
That might be a little much, be honest with you.
A meet and greet? I mean, what do you want me to call it?
A meet and greet.
I'm just
a
saying,
celebration,
like, there's
of
been
life.
A lot of really good Chargers,
yeah,
Padres.
Yeah, I can't see a parade. I can see him making the Hall of Champions and coming back and giving a nice,
I can see that too,
heartfelt speech. And I think if and when he goes into the Hall of Fame one day, he'll talk very fondly about San Diego.
Do you think can he choose the San Diego Chargers as his team, or is it because the team moved?
I don't believe they have helmets.
Yeah.
They don't. They just have busts.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to choose which team he wants to be affiliated with in the NFL. Baseball still has that, where you choose what hat you want to wear. Speaking of baseball, Chris Paddock was in the news today, courtesy of Jesse Agler's Twitter account. Thomas, do you want to set this up for us? Since this is kind of up your alley for whatever reason. You're the only one in the room that has paint on their body.
That's not true.
Oh, it's not?
Tony has some and I got some too.
All right.
I have more than
never
stars.
Never mind. I'm the only one who doesn't. Never mind. All right. Do any of the three of you want to cover this category then?
Thomas, he's talking to you.
Thomas.
So, Chris Paddock showed up to spring training with some new ink today and was got a chance asked about it by Jesse Agler and a few other people from the media.
Because it's a lion on his arm with the state of Texas.
Yes,
blowing.
You don't need to say that because he's about to say that exact thing once Thomas finds the clip.
Well, he can't.
We
got
to wait for Thomas to find it.
All right, let's wait again.
Thomas.
Yeah, unprepared.
It's going to become the ho-hum hour if you keep this up.
Don't
all
sweat
right, Scraby, what did Chris Paddock say about his tattoo again?
He just pretty much said, like, he's been drawing it up for a year now, and he's been thinking about getting it for a year now, and he finally got it, but it's something that covers it. It's on the forearm
it's
of
something.
His throwing
why don't you explain
arm.
What
yeah,
the something
I'm,
is?
I'm trying to. It's on the forearm of his glove hand, because when...
Found it.
Okay, good.
I'm in a stretch, basically. Just kind of looking at the line. You know, it's obviously my idol animal, but I've drawn this up for about a year now, and I finally got the guts to go get it. It took me about a year to draw up to make sure exactly it is what I wanted. Finally got it done. And
all right,
loves it.
So he said it was a little hard to hear. Thank you, Jesse Agler, though, for getting the scoop on this.
Thank you, Jesse.
So it's on his glove hand, and when Chris, you said you like this when he puts his glove up over
his face.
He always
puts his glove up over his face when he's in the stretch.
Yeah, so on his forearm.
You'll be looking right at this lion on his
Yes,
left
there's a
forearm.
Lion near his wrist area, yeah. And then near his elbow is the state of Texas with like some other
like
mementos.
A compass,
I would think that lions everywhere are celebrating the fact compass. That they are Chris Paddock's idol.
You know, it's obviously my idol animal. But
he said that the lion was his idol, so I'm just saying lions everywhere are celebrating. That's all.
They are. They are. His idol animal. But he said he really wants people
to
look into the
eye.
Yeah, it is a spirit animal, but we can move past that.
All right.
He said he really wants hitters to look into the eyes of the lion as he's throwing.
Yeah, and Tony's correctly said any hitter who does that might as well go
sit
down.
They're already
out. You're not going to be able to hit the ball if you're looking at the lion on his arm.
It's a wrap. Like, he's already good enough. You're looking at his arm, it's over.
I will say it's a good tattoo. It looks good.
The detail, it does look pretty good.
Who's going to be the first guy to try to get away with putting something like Paddock has on a forearm that does pull the hitter's focus away from where the baseball is?
Remember when Matt Latos had the seams on his arm?
Yeah, in his undershirt?
No, he had it tattooed on his arm.
No, it went underneath, like it went all around his arm, I believe.
Yeah.
The seams.
I'm just saying, somebody could put like a bright orange tattoo or something. I don't know what you can do with tattoos. I'm not in the know.
I don't know about bright orange if that's possible, but
maybe one of those neon green sleeves, like
the Marcelo Ozuna sleeve. I don't think you could pitch with.
Yeah,
one of those.
I don't think would be complaining about that sleeve all day long.
Yeah, I don't think that would make it. All right, something we're not complaining about this year: the San Diego State basketball team. Why? What's to complain about? They're 25-0 for heaven's sakes. And we were fortunate enough to be joined a little earlier today by the Aztecs' third leading scorer, top rebounder, 12 points, 6.5 boards per game, the transfer from Vanderbilt, the Kiwi from New Zealand, Yanni Wetzel, joined both Tony and I earlier. Here he is. Yanni Wetzel has been a star for the San Diego State basketball team all year long. The transfer from Vanderbilt joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Yanni, thanks so much for coming on the show. How are you today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well, thanks.
I asked you about the New Mexico game. It seemed to me they were throwing a few more double teams than you've seen so far this year. Was that the case the other night? Did you have to make some adjustments?
Yeah. They kind of had a passive double where they had a guy sitting in the paint under the basket and just waiting for me to dribble. So I had to kind of draw the double and then pass the ball out of that. But I unfortunately turned it over a couple times, but once I started getting used to that double, I started finding some guys on cuts and that.
Yeah, and I want to take you back to, you know, when you were making the decision to transfer out of Vanderbilt. What put San Diego State at the top of that list for you?
The first day I was in the transfer portal, Coach Dutch reached out, so we created a relationship from day one. He came out to visit me himself. He didn't send an assistant coach, so I knew there was a lot of interest off the bat. So we met in Nashville, and then I decided that I was going to take two visits, and San Diego State was one of them, the other being Texas Tech. And when I came on my visit to San Diego State, I just loved the whole situation here. There's a great opportunity to play. And then obviously I fell in love with the program and the way Coach Dutch runs everything. Created a great relationship with Dave and a couple of the other assistants. And I played some 3-on-3 with Malachi and Nate and just thought there were some great pieces. And we had a great opportunity to be an awesome team this year. So that was kind of a bunch of things kind of went into that decision. But I'm stoked I made that, made the right decision.
We are too.
I was going to say, man, you got to be not only a great athlete, but maybe a financial planner one day if you can predict stuff like this so well. Because there's really nobody could have predicted 25-0.
No.
And I just wonder how you guys are able to keep the focus night after night and go out there. And it doesn't seem like you're playing scared of your record necessarily. Like, you guys just seem to play every possession one at a time, let the game take care of itself, and that has worked for you.
Absolutely, yeah. We try to play as loose as possible at all times. And even when we're up and we know we're up 10 or 8 or just by a small margin, we got to keep playing loose. We can't tighten up because we know, with experienced guys, we know we've been in situations where if we do play tight, we give the opposing team a chance to kind of fight their way back into the game. So that's how we come and approach every game, and we play loose and we play like there's no pressure on us at all.
How have you guys been able to overwhelm your opponents the way we've seen? Because as I was talking to my partner Chris before you came on, you guys, no matter what happens in the first half, whether you get off to a 17-0 run or the game is close, or even if you guys are down a few times you have, you guys tend to overwhelm teams in that second half. Talk a little bit about the second half adjustments you guys seem to make week in and week out.
Yeah. Well, initially we try to separate ourselves on the defensive end, but the last few games we have been quite close at halftime. So Coach Dutch and the assistants put us in great positions during the halftime. We make some adjustments, whether it's ball screen coverage or the way we defend a certain individual. And we all kind of adjust to it. We got some guys that have been in the system a while, so we can make those adjustments with ease. And it's just a matter of really the coaches putting us in great positions and us executing it on the floor.
Yanni Wetzel is with us from the number 4 ranked San Diego State men's basketball team, undefeated and taking the city by storm. By the way, for those of you who might have missed it last week, or look it up, Google it, whatever you have to do, but find Mark Ziegler's story in the UT last week about Yanni Wetzel and his parents. Just a tremendous story, and hilarious and fun to read. And I think most people know by now you were a tennis player and then didn't play basketball until the age of 17. Now, you had a really good prediction leaving Vanderbilt and coming to San Diego State. What made you decide to play basketball? Because I think that was a pretty good choice as it's turning out, too.
I think the whole world knows I used to be a tennis player now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But was your question about transferring from Vanderbilt or
just no? I'm sorry, just why you decided to play basketball? Why you decided to take it up?
Yeah. A big reason was I grew about 6 inches in my senior.
That'll do it.
The summer between my junior and senior year of high school. So I started dabbling in a bit of a social basketball, and then obviously with the height that helped, and the athleticism was already there from tennis, including the footwork and that. So I was playing pretty well on my social league team and decided to try out for the high school team and ended up making the top side. And basketball started to creep in a bit more and tennis started to take a back seat. So I eventually made the junior national team and I decided, why not go for this? You know, I'm preferring putting in extra work for basketball instead of tennis. So just followed my heart in that one. And yeah, it turned out pretty well.
I would say so. Congratulations, first of all, so by winning the Mountain West Conference regular season championship. What other goals do you guys still have or do you talk about at this point at the 25-0 mark?
Yeah, we don't talk too much about the end goal, which we desire. You know, in the back of our minds, we want to win a national championship, of course, and we don't want to drop a game. But right now we're focusing on staying undefeated in this conference season. And once we achieve that, which is our next goal, we'll start focusing on the conference championship, and then after that we'll move on to March Madness. But we don't talk too much about the national championship and March Madness right now, but we all have our own goals in the back of our heads, so that's definitely there. But for the meantime, it's just staying undefeated.
Okay, that's good.
Sounds good with me.
Hey, two San Diego State guys here, Yanni. We've loved watching you play this year. Thanks for the time. Thanks for all the excitement this year, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Yanni.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
You betcha. There he is, Yanni Wetzel from the San Diego State 4th-ranked basketball team in the nation. And Yanni Wetzel, nice enough to join us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU for you or visit SDCCU.com. All right, we got a couple of minutes left on the program, and I just thought this was kind of a neat story to end the day, kind of a feel-good story, feel-good moment today. Took place at the Riviera Country Club, Los Angeles. The, I don't know what they're calling it this year, the Genesis Invitational. And Tiger Woods competing today, Tony, for the first time in a full event, you know, since the death of his friend and everybody's Kobe Bryant. And unbelievable, on the first hole, Tiger Woods has an eagle putt. And he drains it. And the measurement of the putt was 24 feet, 8 inches. I mean, how do you come up with stuff like that? Tiger said after the round he had no idea. He said it was ironic. He said, I didn't know the putt was that long. A little bit later on the 8th hole, which had a Kobe-colored flag at the event, which is in Los Angeles, Kobe made a birdie putt.
Tiger,
I get right.
Yeah.
Tiger made a birdie putt and then did a basketball-like throw.
Little
flipped
wrist
it back
action
to his caddy after he made the birdie. So he had his own tribute there. But can you
How
believe
about that?
24 feet, 8 inches, and he nailed it, the exact numbers that Kobe wore.
Brooks Koepka had his Kobe Bean Bryant golf
oh, did
shoe
he?
Cleats on out there.
Okay. worked for a minus two for Koepka today. Where's Scraby? Is he nearby?
You know, of course he's not in here.
Oh, good. McElroy had a minus three. Give him. He'll probably come running in here any minute now.
What'd you say about Rory? Huh?
Rory. You scared me there, Thomas. I actually thought you were Scraby there for a second.
Yeah. Tiger, by the way, finished with a minus two as well, 69. The leader is, if you're interested, Matt Kuchar with 7 under par, 64. All right, that's going to wrap it for us. We've got Tom Friend coming in tomorrow, which is always great. Have him on the program with us, sitting in. Tony's going to enjoy Valentine's Day. I hope you do. Anyway, that's my hope for you, is to enjoy Valentine's Day, my friend.
Thank you.
Good day. We will be with you for Valentine's Day. I know you'll all love that. It is Chris Sello. It is Tony Gwynn Jr., Scraby, Odd Thomas. Thanks for joining us today on San Diego's number one sports talk station. 3 o'clock, same time tomorrow, right here on 97.3 The Fan. Good night.